What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
W-T-L.
It's
time!
W-T-L.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to W-T-L. That's Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Ian D. Klassen, and joined by
Jabron.
Oh, the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Yes, we are. And we talked a lot of baseball last week.
Yeah.
We're going to get back into football.
For sure. We have to.
And I know you're wearing some Twins gear there, but Wednesday night just didn't go your way.
It didn't. Baseball season's over. Nobody has to watch anymore. The Twins are out of it. Who cares? We're on to Super Bowl season.
Pump the brakes. Yep, we're looking ahead more. You know, we're going to take this bye week, this Husker bye week, and we're really going to hone in on football. And yeah, now that the Twins are out, who's even watching?
Nobody is. Not in this part of the world, anyway. So nope. It was a fun season for the Twins, but it all has to come to an end. Glad we won a playoff series, but that's as far as it went.
All right, so let's start with a hot Thursday night game that a lot of folks are going to be on. That is. The Denver Broncos are heading on over to Arrowhead Stadium. That's a 7:15 kickoff on Amazon. We're streaming here.
Yep.
And, man, Denver, you are a 10.5 point dog here.
Yeah, Andy, double digit with a short week and the possibility of Travis Kelce not playing. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's ideal for the Chiefs, right? But, however, the Broncos have had zero success against the Chiefs over the last several years, 0-15 straight up in the last 15 games against them. Yes. And they entered this game ranked dead last in total defense, rush defense, and scoring defense.
Yeah, that's pretty – I mean, and then you're going up against the juggernaut that is Kansas City.
I mean,
divisional game.
Exactly. And, yes, those numbers are a little inflated from that game against the Dolphins when they put 70 points up, but they also just allowed more than 400 yards to the Jets in backup Zach Wilson. Yeah. So, Kelce or no Kelce, the Chiefs should have their way in this game. It's the Chiefs or a straight pass for me. So if I'm going to lean away, I'm going 10.5 with the Chiefs in a total blowout game.
Yeah.
And if that's happening, you got to look at Patrick Mahomes over on yards as well.
Yeah, and that over-under, the total's sitting at 47. And here's a couple of things here.
Yeah.
That total has gone over 9 of the last 10 games. And that's just in Denver's games.
For sure.
Because Denver can't stop anybody. It's a putrid defense. They are freaking terrible.
It's what it is, Andy, and they just cannot stop anybody.
And the sports books can't catch up to this.
No.
The Broncos are 0-5-1, their last six games against the spread.
Like
you can only bring a total down so much. You can only inflate that the point spread to 10.5, 11, 12 points. This is the NFL.
It's like, pro football. Yeah, you can't do it more than that.
But give me the Chiefs here.
Yeah, no, I think give me the Chiefs. And like I was talking about Patrick Mahomes, Andy, it's a over under 295 yards. I believe if they're going to cover this spread, he has to have 300 yards passing. I believe that they open it up against him. Even without Travis Kelce, I do think he's going to play. But even without him, I still think he can get to that number with those speedy guys like Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, and Isaiah Pacheco out of the background backfield. So I really believe that over 295 is a lock for Mahomes.
Well, and that's the I like that. I really do. But I was looking at Pacheco.
Mm-hmm.
Pacheco. Over 74.5 yards rushing was the latest I saw. He's going to get that.
He should.
He's one of the leading rushers. I think he's like 13th in the league. Like,
yeah.
It's just kind of a sneaky stat there with Pacheco because you're thinking, oh, this is an offense that likes to throw the ball around. No, Andy Reid really likes to pound the rock.
Yeah, he does, Andy, especially if they get up by over two touchdowns or, you know, three touchdowns. They are going to get Pacheco the ball. Over 75.5 yards rushing, I believe that is very attainable for Isaiah. So I like those two player props that we just laid out there.
Yeah. So he's the 13th leading rusher in the league. Already has 325 yards on the season.
Yeah.
He's not short on carries either. 71 carries with a 4.6 yard average.
Yeah.
if he just does his average, he's going to sail over that player prop there.
Yeah.
No sweat.
Should be a lock. It. Should be a lock, Andy.
All righty. Let's move on to the Sunday morning game.
Yeah.
Here. Kind of a odd time here, but we're used to it now, right?
Yeah.
8:30 kickoff over in London. It's going to be the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Tennessee Titans. And the Titans are a 4-point dog.
Yeah, Andy. I'm going to stay with Baltimore, even though they kind of let me down last week. Both teams are in need of a bounce-back effort here, and maybe a change of scenery will do the trick. The Ravens were in control against the Steelers on Sunday until the fourth quarter and ended up with 335 total yards, 210 passing.
Yeah,
Baltimore coughed up the ball three times and went a rough 5 of 14 on third down.
Can't do that.
You cannot do that, especially against a good defensive team like the Steelers. They are going to pounce on that and, you know, get the ball turned over. So I really think that Lamar Jackson and company kind of gets it going here in London against Tennessee. I just believe they have the playmakers to do it, and I think they walk around. Walk out of here with a touchdown victory over the Titans.
They should be able to get over there and prevail and win. The key is, can they win by more than a field goal? That over-under is at 40.5 currently. It's still sitting there at 40.5.
Yeah.
Every metric that I've looked at, whether I'm looking at Baltimore, Tennessee, last 10 games, last 5 games, home away, they're both an under team. They are huge on the under here, but this is only 40.5.
This is so low because of that stat you were just putting out there, Andy. I mean, 40 points in, you know, kind of a, I don't want to say a primetime game, but everybody will be watching this game.
I think
they're going to really want to shine Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, so I do believe that there are going to be points scored in this game. If I had to lean away, it's the over.
It's the over. Okay. Well, it has to. Something has to happen sometime.
Something has to happen sometime.
What about this player prop I'm looking at here? Lamar Jackson, 222.5 yards. Total yards.
Total yards.
Total yards.
Okay.
Now he's been averaging about 206.
Yeah.
So you're thinking he's going to go over. Can he get there? You know, I don't know. I have mixed emotions about this because, you know, Tennessee likes to keep games close.
Yeah, they do, Andy. I do think this is an over for that stat, Andy, just because I think he's going to light it up on the ground, and that's going to open up his passing game along with Mark Andrews. And that is my player prop that I'm going with, is Mark Andrews' anytime touchdown score is at a plus 160 right now. I believe they find him in the red zone, get that guy back to where he needs to be in the end zone. So I really like that. I like yours as well, though, with Lamar going over on those yards, rushing and passing together.
Yeah. You get a kind of double dip there and utilize his legs. And you know, it just takes a couple of passes. He's kind of a boom or bust passer, just a couple of big plays here and there.
Yep.
You got it.
It really is. And another one that I want to point out to people, if you are on the Titans train, Derrick Henry anytime touchdown scores at a plus 100. So you're still getting plus money for a guy that's going to be there at the goal line.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the anybody in London that has a Titans jersey on will be number 22. So I believe that they're going to want Lamar and Derrick Henry in the end zone over there in London. So I believe that those are two good player props.
All right. And once again, that's an 8:30 a.m. kickoff on the NFL Network to get your Sunday kick started.
Let's go.
All right. Let's move on to a noon kickoff over on Fox. Oh, my God. My Chicago Bears are playing host to the 1-4 Vikings.
Yeah.
A lot of people are kind of staying on their soapbox here saying, see, I told you the Vikings weren't going to be that good. We all know the Bears weren't going to be that good. The short-term memory is making everyone think the Bears are going to do something here. They're still a home dog, 2.5.
Yeah, Andy. The real big thing about this, Andy, is that does Minnesota take the foot off the gas and tank? Is that what everybody's thinking right now? Justin Jefferson probably, he is on IR now. He will not be playing in this game. That is a huge kick to this Minnesota Vikings offense. Yeah. Now they got to upgrade Jordan Addison, KJ Osborne to that 1-2 punch. You know, probably a lot more TJ Hockenson into that passing game.
Yeah.
I just really think this is a sneaky one that the Bears can, you know, go 2-for-2 here and at least keep the game close. I do believe that Minnesota probably will win this game at the end just because they're the more you know, I just think they're the more built team, even missing Justin Jefferson. So I have to back the Vikings, but it's a scary place if you're the Vikings missing Justin Jefferson.
It's really scary because Osborne, I don't know if there's a more frustrating receiver in the league. I've watched a few of their games, and man, he drops balls.
Yeah.
He drops a lot of balls, and then it all comes back to Kirk Cousins. Like, see, clutch moments. Only went 2-7 on that drive. Well, Osborne had two drops.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, he put it on him each time or whatever. And a lot of stuff happened at the end of that Chiefs game. They were in contention with the best team in the world, the Super Bowl champions. Yeah. And on the other side of the ball, Andy, one win over Washington does not move the needle that much for me. The Bears still have lost 15 straight games on Sunday and must win if the Vikings are going to save their season. So Justin Jefferson or not, the Vikings should win this game. I lay it on the Vikings 2.5.
Give me the 2.5 as well. I'm laying it on. Chicago is one of those teams that the books can't get around. They are 2-10-1 their last 13 games. They cannot cover. They can't cover. And that line, they try to squeeze it in there. They brought it under 3 here. Doesn't matter. Bears will figure it out. They'll lose by more than that. That over-under is at 44.5. Now, Chicago is one of those teams you're thinking, oh, they're so terrible. They're so bad. Yes, but they're worse on defense.
Yes.
It's an over bet. I'm telling you, 5 of the last 5 Chicago Bears games have all smacked the over.
And, you know, Kirk is really going to want to shut the people up about, you know, Justin Jefferson not being on the field and everything. Mm-hmm. I believe that the Vikings are going to come out and score some points. They're going to get that run game going. Yep. And then, like I said, they're going to use T.J. Hockenson in that red zone. I believe any time touchdown score for T.J. Hockenson is a very good bet this week just because he's going to be without that goal line threat in Justin Jefferson. So I really like T.J. Hockenson this week, and I really like the Vikings.
We got a little bit of time here. I want to get your thoughts on kind of a sneaky play, a player prop. I don't know how I feel about it. I want to get your thoughts. DJ Moore went off last week.
For sure.
I mean, touchdown after touchdown, big play after big play. His player prop receiving yards 55.5 at a -115.
If he doesn't get this, the Bears have no chance to win this game.
Right.
So I really do like this player prop. The Bears should be doing anything possible to get the ball into DJ Moore's hands. Screens, slants, anything that they can do. You know, pass and goes, all this kind of stuff. So I do believe that you should take receptions over on DJ Moore and the yards over on DJ Moore. So I really like those two plays if the Bears have any chance of competing with the Minnesota Vikings. So I really do like DJ Moore because they need to get him the ball if they have a chance.
He's just such a boom or bust type
of player this
year. I mean, he's only gone over 100 yards receiving twice.
Yep.
And that's
usually That's why it's so low. So I like Lightning to hit twice back-to-back weeks with DJ Moore.
All righty. Well, you heard the horn there. That means we're up against it. But let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We've been enjoying the smooth, easy-drinking Ale Storm, the official beer of Omaha's AAA baseball team. Crafted with Pilsner malt and Sterling hops, making it the perfect summer baseball beer as we head into the fall. Nebraska Brewing Company, world-class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
The Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Yes, we are, and we are talking college football.
CFB.
We got some SEC schools coming your way here. We got a dandy of a little lineup here, and let's start with an 11 o'clock kickoff over on ESPN.
Yeah.
The Arkansas Razorbacks are going to be playing the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama, you know, they had that loss to Texas, and everyone's quick to jump off the ship, and what's going on in Tuscaloosa, this and that. Oh, we're going to fire this guy, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're 5-1, okay?
Yeah, they're 5-1.
They're 5-1. They're a 19.5-point favorite over Arkansas at home this week. I mean, come on. They're still ranked 11th in the nation.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's 19.5. I'm seeing some books now at 20, so the lines is expanding.
And it will expand.
Wow.
It will. I just think this is it's a little bit strange just because it feels like both these teams are heading in different directions. Arkansas are piling up losses the last four, and Alabama is finding ways to win. But this is a lot of points, Andy. And all of Arkansas's losses have been decided by 12 or fewer points, including taking LSU and Ole Miss down to the wire on the road like they have to do this week. Yes. So Alabama doesn't have the horses offensively to blow teams out, and it's currently 88th in total offense in the nation. Texas A&M had its chances last week to upset Alabama.
Yes, they did.
This is a lot of points. Give me the Razorbacks. That's too many touchdowns. I believe Arkansas does cover this. They'll lose, but they cover.
Yeah, so the last five of six Western Division games in this conference, Arkansas has covered. And another thing to go along with what we're talking about here as far as the Razorbacks covering this 20-point spread.
Yeah.
I get it. It's in Alabama. But Alabama's stud defensive back, Malachi Moore, is still on the injured list.
Yes.
He had a high ankle sprain last week against Texas A&M.
Yep.
Did not return. On Wednesday, Nick Saban said he'll be a game-time decision. When you're talking high ankle sprain, I'm saying probably
multiple weeks.
And this isn't, like you were saying, this isn't the Alabama that can just reload.
Yeah.
You know, they're not sending six defensive backs to the league this time around.
No.
Probably only three.
Yeah, probably only three. And the other reason I kind of go with that, Andy, is that I think Alabama's going to get up by a couple touchdowns here and really pound the rock here. Uh-huh. They're averaging over 100, right around 150 yards per contest on the ground. So I really believe that they probably just kind of pound the rock, let the game flow out, is really, really fast game, mm-hmm. and get out of there with a win. So I do believe that Alabama wins by 10 or more, but not all the way up to 20.
Not to 20. I mean, yeah, they could win by two touchdowns and a field goal and still not cover.
Exactly. And I think that's probably where we're at with this game.
All righty. So should we move on to a 2:30 kickoff on CBS? We were just talking about them. The Aggies, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Heading on over to Tennessee to take on the 19th-ranked Volunteers at Neyland Stadium. You ever been there?
No, I haven't. I'd love to. I really would.
I got to walk around the place. We were there for one of Ashley's educational deals.
Wow.
I got to go walk around the stadium. Really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right there next to the river. Really cool setup. Would love to go to a game there. But Tennessee, -3, 3-point favorite here, 55-point total.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing you got to look at here, Andy, is Texas A&M, like we just said, coming off a very hard-fought, frustrating loss to Alabama.
They're covering.
Wonder how the players will respond with another tough road game this next week. The Tennessee Volunteers haven't lost a game at home in nearly 2 years, and they're one of the most balanced teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's ranked 23rd in both in scoring offense and scoring defense.
Yeah.
Tennessee has also had an extra week to prepare for this game.
Ouch.
With the bye week last week. The line is being this soft is surprising me. I really got Tennessee maybe in a blowout here.
Ooh.
Give me the Vols by a touchdown at home easily.
And Tennessee is covering 13 of the last 18 games, regardless of where it's played at home, they are covering. So I like that too. Joe Milton, the quarterback, already has over 1,164 yards.
Yep.
Jalen Wright, the running back, already has 435 yards on the ground. They're a complete team. Aaron Beasley, that linebacker, the beast, he already has 33 tackles.
Exactly.
First round.
Jeez. And defensively for Tennessee is only allowing 17 points a game. A&M's going to have to score a lot more points than that to be in this game and be close to 4 points. So, no, I got Tennessee in a landslide at home. I believe this might be one of the locks of the week, Andy. So if you're going to get in on Tennessee, get it on it early, because this line will spread.
It'll get up to at least 3.5, maybe 4 the bye kickoff. What do you think of that total sitting at 55? It's looking pretty good right now as far as the books are concerned. You're getting half the money coming in on the over, half the money coming in on the under, which is right where they want it.
I like the over, Andy. Six of Tennessee's last seven home games against conference opponents have gone over the total point line, so I really like that, especially if this is a blowout in Tennessee's way. I do believe it gets to this. And, you know, they get up, you know, 35 points or whatever, and then A&M gets a couple of those scores late to cover that over.
Yeah, you know, and do you feel bad for Jimbo Fisher? Not really.
I would never feel bad for him in the history of the world.
I mean, they're still 4-2.
He
lost a couple heartbreakers.
They're 4-2, almost beat Alabama. I don't feel sorry for him at all. I mean, everybody out here is, you know, crying like everybody's like, he's down on his luck. Try losing 20 years in a row, and then I'll talk to you. This guy, I remember this guy winning national championships. I will never feel bad for him in the history of the world from this day forward.
And as of late, the old Aggies are not covering. They are 1-6 of the last 7 games when they play on Saturday on the road. A little bit of a stretch there, but yeah, that's still, I mean, that goes in line with, can they only lose by 3?
Yeah.
Probably not. Probably not in Tennessee.
No, not in Tennessee. And one other thing that I really want to point out here is, Andy, Texas A&M has lost each of its last 11 games as a road underdog. It's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
They're going to get blown out of this one. I like the over, but I like that Volunteers line. Anywhere under a touchdown is gold.
Ooh, you taking it all the way up to 6.5?
For sure.
Sitting at 3 right now. Get in on it.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a little nightcap here over on Fox.
Yeah, let's go.
This one's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
We're getting out to the Pac-12 while it's still around. The UCLA Bruins, soon to be out of the Big Ten, they are 4-1, doing really well. Chip Kelly's finally got it kind of going, I feel like. Oregon State, a little bit of a surprise team here.
The Beavers.
Got some transfers in there that are doing some big things. They are 5-1, and they're just a couple plays away from being 6-0. This is in Corvallis, 7 o'clock kickoff, Riser Stadium, and the Beavers are a 3.5-point favorite here over the Bruins. I think that surprises a lot of people.
Yeah, no, Andy, it really does. And like you said, both these teams are a play and a half away from being 6-0.
Yep.
On UCLA side, losing to Utah early in the season by 7 points, and then over on the other side, the Beavers going into Washington State and losing by a field goal. So these are really good teams that these guys have played and lost to.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the UCLA Bruins has had issues finishing drives this season, as they are 63rd in scoring offense,
mm-hmm.
and they were held to 7 points in their last road game against Utah, like we were just saying.
Yeah.
You know, but Utah, very good team. The Utes, very good team. The Oregon State Beavers, on the other hand, are a balanced team that are 14th in scoring offense and 35th in scoring defense. So that's pretty dang good for a Pac-12 team.
Yeah.
Oregon State also has won 7 straight games at home dating back to last season.
Yep.
Oregon State is legit. A lot of people have them underrated, and I think they have an underrated home field advantage right here that a lot of people don't give them to. So I'll lay it on the Beavers at home. Give me that.
I like
the Beavers.
Even with the hook there.
I like it with the hook. I got them by a touchdown.
Yeah, and they defend home very well. And also, they're 9-1 the last 10 games straight up.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and if they're going to win, and they're going to win at home, they can probably get them by a score.
No, I think so, Andy. And Oregon State has won 14 of its last 15 at Riser Stadium, like you were just saying. Oregon State has also covered the spread in each of its last 10 home games against conference opponents.
Ooh, I like that.
The proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, yeah.
The Beavers got it.
Yeah, and DJ, one of the transfers that we talked about, the quarterback, Ungulengele.
Ungulengele. Yeah, yeah.
From Clemson. I mean, people put him out to watch, like, yeah, get him out of here. He's terrible. I mean, he was doing national Dr. Pepper commercials.
For sure.
You know, as soon as he came in for Trevor Lawrence, and it just didn't work out for him at Clemson, and he's found new life, and he's running with
it. Yeah.
Already over 1,300 yards through the air this year for the Beavers. And you talk about that offense.
Yeah.
Damon Martinez, 586 yards on the ground.
Man, that would be nice to have that on a team in the Big Ten. But, Andy, what I'm really looking forward to here is this is a Pac-12 game.
Yep.
Are you looking at that over-under at all, sitting at 54 points right now?
I'm looking at the 54 there, and you would think you could get to over. Oregon State likes to pile it on for the last 6 games.
Yes.
They have smacked that over, and they're at home. They're against a high-profile game here, a couple of ranked teams, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of like the over, don't I?
Yeah, like you said, 6 of Oregon State's last 7, gone over the total point line. The other thing that I like about Oregon State is they start fast. Oregon State has won the first quarter in 8 of its last 9 games against conference opponents.
Mm.
They're going to get out, they're going to get going fast, and UCLA's going to have to play catch-up. I believe it's going to be tit for tat until the end of the game where Oregon State gets up by a touchdown, covers that spread, that over's hitting 2.
You're taking the overs, you're taking Oregon State to cover that 3.5.
For sure.
It's all
going to work out.
The Orange Beavers, they're going to do it for us. Here we go.
Corvallis Beavers.
Come on now. That should be a really fun game.
It should
regardless.
Be a lot of fun.
7 o'clock kick on Fox. Well, let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Stock and Rod Company, an outdoor lifestyle brand for those seeking adventure. Whether it's hunting, fishing, or hiking, they got you covered. Visit stockandrod.com to get your wild game on. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
The Parlay Pounder.
You got it. You got it.
Yes, yes. And we were talking a little college football. I think we need to talk more college football.
A little more college football.
A little more college football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we actually have some pretty darn good matchups.
Yeah,
there.
These are really good.
And some really good teams, some fun teams to talk about, and some intriguing betting lines to go along with that.
Yeah, for sure, Andy. And a lot of unbeaten teams here as well.
And that's where we're going to start. Oregon,
yeah.
The Ducks are 5-0, taking on the Washington Huskies. They're heading on over to Seattle there,
yeah,
to take on the 5-0 Huskies. Whew. Huskies are a 3-point favorite.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think, because Oregon, and rightfully so, they got a lot of pub.
Yeah, yeah.
Beating the snot out of Colorado.
For sure.
Kind of feeding old Deion Prime his medicine there.
Yep, yep.
They won the social media battle that Saturday.
They did. They won that Saturday.
Hands down. But the Huskies have quietly put together maybe the best season thus far in college football. It's hard to argue.
Yeah, Andy, and Washington should be a favorite at home here. It's a key edge in a massive Pac-12 contest,
yeah,
that, you know, holds real serious playoff implications, Andy, because,
yeah,
these two are, you know, fighting for that last spot as well. So,
yeah,
and heck, Michael Penix is the Heisman betting favorite at many books.
Quarterback
for Washington,
yep,
almost 2,000
yep
yards already, Andy,
yeah,
on the season. With all that said, I am still leaning with
Ducks.
The Ducks. You know, with a free field goal, I have to go with the Ducks here. As good as Washington is, it still can't run the ball, and its pass defense is really questionable, ranking 94th,
yep,
in the country. Oregon is probably the most balanced offense in the country, and its defense has been a lot more consistent. Oregon has also been the more impressive team up to this point, so give me those points. I'm rolling with Bo Nix.
Hey, and they are 5-0. They're also 5-0 ATS. Boom. Against the spread. And they've had some wacky lines that they've had to overcome.
For sure.
It doesn't matter. I kind of get a kick out of their head coach and the moxie and how he kind of puts it out there. And kind of a clever way,
yeah, yeah,
as well. But this game is in Seattle at the stadium. It's a 2:30 kickoff on ABC. Oregon is ranked 8th in the nation. Washington's ranked 7th in the nation.
They're right there. It's neck and neck, Andy.
This is a top 10 matchup.
This is a Pac-12 brawl right now, Andy. The real reason that I'm really on Oregon right now, Washington has failed to cover the spread in 10 of its last 11 games as the favorite. So I do not like them being the favorite here, but you have to put them as the favorite. They're undefeated. It's at home. They're ranked 7th in the nation. There's no way that they can't be favored.
And you talk about Penix and already almost having 2,000 yards.
Yeah, for sure.
Bo Nix isn't too far away. He's got over 1,400 yards.
Right.
And I'm just going to run down this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four receivers right at 200 yards.
Yeah.
Led by Tony Franklin with over 500 yards receiving already. They got weapons all over the freaking place. Bucky Irving already has almost 400 yards rushing.
Yep.
It's really hard to poke holes and anything that Oregon brings to the table.
Exactly. And they have covered the spread in 21 of last 24 games. They
wow,
just covered. That's
wow
all they do. Like you said, ATS,
wow,
the Ducks are there to stay. I'm going with the Ducks, especially getting points in this one, Andy.
All righty. Okay. All right. Did we talk about the total here?
No, we have to.
Yeah, we better, because this is a Pac-12 game.
Yep.
I'm looking at 67.
That's where it is, Andy. In 6 of Washington's last 7 games against top 15 opponents, Andy,
yeah,
at Husky Stadium have gone over. I think
no
this
way.
I think this
what?
Is going over, Andy. Like you said, these are two of the
whoa
best, two of the best quarterbacks in the nation. They are going to be going for it. These are the Heisman hopefuls right here, going back and forth against two subpar to mediocre defenses. Very mediocre on Washington's side. I love the over. I just think it's going to be a shootout, Andy.
It might be, but 5 of the last 6 Oregon Duck games have hit the under.
Yes.
And it's because you're talking, what was that? The Colorado one was like
73. Yeah. No, I believe they brought this one a little bit back to earth, but it's still a lot of points. It's still a lot of points, but this Washington team is a lot better than Colorado.
I might sidestep it, but if I had to bet it, I would be all over that under.
There you go.
I think that defense can at least do that for me, right? All right, let's get another ranked matchup
okay
here. 6:30 over on NBC. That
yeah
is right. Notre Dame is going to play host to USC. 10th ranked in the nation, Trojans.
Yeah.
Notre Dame kind of licking their wounds here, aren't they?
I guess not, because they're favored.
They're favored by 2.5 is what I'm looking at.
I was talking last segment about lock of the week with Tennessee. This is the lock of the week.
This is the lock.
This is the lock of the week. The Trojans are so money here. I would go money line. You don't even need these 2.5 points. They are going to blow this Notre Dame team out. I guess Notre Dame is getting the benefit of the doubt just because it's a home rivalry spot, but being favored, especially after losing to Louisville last week, is very strange. I think this line is so strange. It's out of whack. It should be 7 points the other way. USC should be a 6-point favorite here. USC has defensive issues it needs to fix, but the Trojans continue to find ways to win, and Notre Dame does not.
Caleb Williams has been as advertised, right?
For sure.
I mean, the guy's unbelievable. He's stacking up yards through the air at a clip that, you know, I don't know if Notre Dame can keep up with. Sam Hartman, too, is putting up some numbers.
For sure.
Really
very
like what he's been doing for Notre Dame. He's got over 1,700 yards through the air. You just think USC is too much of a well-oiled machine.
They have the best quarterback in the country, the best scoring offense in college football. What one could argue with getting the free points in the better team is just crazy, but I'm all over this money line. I don't even care about the points. Give me that money line.
Right.
If you can find an alternate money line that gives you USC by a touchdown, go with that, because they are blowing this team out. Notre Dame is on its last gasp. They've already proved themselves twice that they cannot live up to the hype, especially against Caleb Williams in this riding high Trojans offense.
They were so close in a couple of big games and just came up a little short and this and that, and it was the refs. And then, and Louisville, they're a ranked team, right? The Cardinals, they're not bad.
They're not bad, but they're not good.
Okay. Total's at 61.5.
Yeah, and that's going to be tough, Andy. I do believe that Notre Dame's defense is okay, probably a lot better than most of the Pac-12 defenses that USC has seen thus far. Mm-hmm. I still think Caleb Williams dumps it on these guys, but I don't believe that over will hit just because Notre Dame will try and keep it as close as they can.
Yeah, that's going to be the recipe to success. But 13 of the last 14 games for the Trojans have smacked that over. Yep. That is what Caleb Williams and company do.
Yeah.
They put points up.
It's crazy, Andy. Like you said, this guy has 1,800 yards, 22 touchdowns to the air, only one interception.
Wow.
How could you throw that many yards with only having that one interception and 22 touchdowns? Ugh. This guy is the real deal. Every team in the NFL is going to be, hot off the press for this guy. USC by a landslide in this one. You're getting free points. Lock it in.
Okay. I'll take USC. Jeez. Let's talk another night game here.
Yeah.
An ACC matchup, and this one's intriguing. This should be two unbeaten teams.
Yes.
But it's not.
It's not.
We're talking about Notre Dame coming off a hangover. How about the Miami Hurricanes? They are 4-1. All I had to do was take a knee to beat Georgia Tech, then the wheels came off. It was unbelievable. Now they got to regroup and head on out to the Fighting Mac Browns, take on the North Carolina Tar Heels. Tar Heels are 5-0. They are on fire. They're ranked 12th in the nation. Miami's still ranked 25th in the nation.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel good. It does not feel good here. And the Tar Heels are a 3.5. Most of the books I'm looking at now is at 4.
Yeah, it's going to go up, Andy. You can probably still find it at 3.5. Maybe on Thursday here, but it's probably going to get up to 4 on Friday, Saturday, 4 to 5 points. So if you're on the Tar Heels, do it now. It kind of pains me, Andy, to see Mac Brown doing so well already down here with the Tar Heels, a basketball school already turned around to one of the top 10 teams in the nation.
Yeah.
But on the other side with Miami, that has to be the worst way that I've ever seen a team lose a game. All you have to do is take a knee. Just run out the clock. I mean, and it's Georgia Tech. Like, I don't know what you're trying to do. I don't know what you're trying to prove, running up the gut against Georgia Tech. And that's all they're going to do is try to swipe at the ball. So, that was very, very sad to see. It wasn't very sad to see because,
it's Miami.
We're Nebraska.
Lose all you want.
Yeah. I really think the Tar Heels have a lot better team here, Andy.
Yeah. They're at home.
It's one of the most explosive offenses in the country with above average defense. I lay it on with the Tar Heels. I'll take this up to four for sure.
You know, I was talking about the receivers for Oregon. Drake May, the quarterback, trigger man there North Carolina. He has three receivers that are all there at over 280 yards receiving or more, led by Nate McCollum at 355 yards. And I mean, they're not just catching short balls here.
Yeah, yeah.
Over 12 yards, over 17 yards per reception. J.J. Jones is second leading receiver at 318 yards. He's averaging nearly 18 yards per reception.
Whoa.
I mean, this is an explosive. I think you said explosive offense.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
Miami, I think they got just too much going on, too much between the years here, coming off a loss like that. This over-under is up there. It's 58, but I might like that over.
Yeah, no, I think the over is the way to go, Andy, especially, like you said, with North Carolina being, you know, such an explosive team. North Carolina has won the first quarter in 12 of its last 15 games against conference opponents. That means they start fast and they don't give up. So I really like the over in this one, and I really like the Tar Heels.
Yep, the second coming of Mack Brown.
Yeah, here they come.
5-0, we're thinking they're going to move to 6-0, and not
for
only
sure.
6-0, we're thinking they're going to cover and go over.
Book it.
All right, let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners. That is the Nebraska Brewing Company. World class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
WTL.
Gentlemen, what brings me to my next point? Don't smoke crack.
WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. That stands for Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klass, and joined by
Jabron,
the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. You got it. Mm. Talking about parlays, Andy, I think we might have one for the people at the end of this segment.
What don't we have? Player props. We got parlays. We got the Parlay Pounder.
Exactly. And if you're listening to it last week, the parlay did hit the three-teamer,
Smack.
The Eagles, the Bengals, the 49ers. We called all three.
Oh my God.
We won you some money. Stay tuned for that parlay at the end of this segment.
There we go. There we go. I love it. So, yeah, a little teaser to start with. Is that starting fast? We're getting a fast start here.
Let's get a fast start.
We're going to start with the afternoon kickoff here.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles are heading on out to the Meadowlands to take on the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets. Oh, man, that's a 3:25 kickoff on Fox. And the Jets, even though they're at home, they are a full touchdown dog. A 7-point square on the key number.
Yeah.
Dog.
Yeah, Andy. I'm sticking with the Eagles until they give me a reason not to, Andy. The Jets got the win over Denver, but look at the state of the Broncos defense. Giving up 70 points to Miami, 31 to the Jets. I mean, it's a bad look over at the Broncos, as we mentioned in the earlier segment. The Eagles have been able to get the job done all season long, and I look for this game to be no difference as the defense shuts down the Jets. Give me the Eagles. Lane with the points.
In recent history, when the Eagles and New York Jets play, it's been all Eagles. You're talking straight up. You're talking ATS.
Yeah.
6-0 ATS last six games. 10-0 last 10 games against the Jets. It doesn't matter if it's in Philadelphia, if it's in New York or New Jersey. The Eagles cover. They beat them and they cover.
Yeah, Andy, and they just have the better team here.
Yeah.
Eagles are riding high for an NFC Championship matchup with the San Francisco 49ers, I believe.
Yeah.
And this is not a gotcha game. It really isn't.
Yeah.
The Jets might have a little bit of, you know, false security there beating the Broncos, but they're going to get shoved down real quick in this one.
And I like Zach Wilson. I think he catches a lot of shade when he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's playing better. But this Philadelphia, this might, you know, you talk about San Francisco, but this might have the most complete roster, offense, defense, special teams. I mean, the Eagles are just the cream of the crop right now.
Yeah, Andy, they're a Super Bowl favorite along with the San Francisco 49ers coming out of the NFC.
You got a player prop for this one?
Yeah, I do, Andy, and a little reasoning behind it. Jalen Hurts has recorded over 277 passing yards in four of the Eagles' last five games following a win, which has been the last five, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
In his line right now on DraftKings is over under 223.5. I really believe that he gets over this.
Okay.
I believe it's a lock. I really do like that.
Yeah, the 2-3 Jets, you know, they don't have Aaron Rodgers, all that stuff. We know about that. The Eagles are 5-0, and they are flying high, and they are flying on to take the Jets.
Yeah, Andy, and if you're on Zach Wilson, like you said, you know, we're not trying to beat a, you know, dead horse or anything, but Zach Wilson has recorded over 210 passing yards in each of his four previous games at home, so his line is sitting right there at 194, so I wouldn't mind that as well, because they are going to be down, he is going to be throwing, so I do like over 200 yards for Zach Wilson in the air as well.
And it does kind of feel like one of those prototypical games where Philadelphia is going to establish themselves, they'll take the lead, and then they'll have it secured in the fourth quarter, and then they'll take their foot off the gas, and then it's Zach Wilson time, and he needs the snaps, he needs all of it.
Yeah,
you know? He's going to be throwing it, he needs the experience, all those things.
I agree.
Let's stay in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about another couple of teams in New York, playing in New York. That is the New York Giants, only 1-4, heading on up to Buffalo to take on the Bills, who are surprisingly only at 3-2, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills are a 2-touchdown favorite. 14 points just square on that key number.
Yeah, that's crazy, Andy. And, you know, I think I have to stay with Buffalo here. Buffalo really needs, you know... They really need a bounce back effort to get themselves, you know, back where they need to be. I mean,
play the Giants.
You got to play the Giants. Buffalo has, you know, man,
the books can't catch up to the Giants. No matter how bad they play, no matter what they do, they are 0-6 against the spread. And you're seeing lines like this, a 2-touchdown. This is the league. This is the NFL. And we're talking about a team of professionals, paid professionals, to lose by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, the only thing that I can't get on board with just the Giants, Andy, they rank 32nd in the NFL in yards per game with 255 yards. Mm. And the Giants rank 32 in the NFL in a lot of categories across the books on the offensive side of the ball. It's so crazy. And the Bills rank number one in sacks. The Bills rank number one in interceptions. Yeah. I just believe this is ripe for a Bills blowout. And I believe it's by more than 2 touchdowns. Yeah. I just can't get behind anything with the Giants just because they stink.
This is a Sunday night game.
Sunday night game, prime
NBC.
Time. Josh Allen needs to be bright lights.
Yep.
Daniel Jones is not playing. Tyrod Taylor is taking the start for the Giants, which
I
think he might be just as good as Daniel Jones, but I'm not betting on it.
It kind of sounds like with all those 32nd ranked in this, 32nd ranked in that, is there any player props you're looking at?
I mean, there are some player props, Andy, and it's all Josh Allen to me. It's all Josh Allen to me.
7 of the last 10 games that these two teams have scored off, the under has hit, and it's sitting at 44.5, so you got to be feeling over there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're that high on Josh Allen and all these things, you got to be thinking that he's going to cover that.
Exactly, Andy. That's what I was talking about, is over-under sitting at 265 yards. Mm-hmm. I believe he goes well over 3 in this game.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is going to want the ball. They're going to get those two tight ends in the mix there.
Yep.
Gabe Davis has been a really uptick in receptions the last couple weeks. So I really like Josh Allen over 265.5 yards. Book it.
I like that, too. I like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
This does feel like one of those games where he's going to have over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, all the things.
Yeah.
Sunday night, he just hits another gear when all the lights are on. And this just feels like one of those games where they've already done it this year.
Yeah.
They'll lay an egg, and then they'll explode, right? So, should we move on to Monday night?
Let's do it. A little closer game.
Yeah. But this is curious here.
Yeah,
the Dallas Cowboys didn't have a good outing last week.
They ran into the best team in the NFL, in my assumption.
Doug Duda, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I know you're a Cowboys guy, but oh, boy. And then Dak, where are you at, my man? Come on.
Ooh.
So they're heading on out to L.A., playing SoFi Stadium, take on the Chargers, and the Chargers are a 2.5-point dog.
Yeah.
After Dallas looked like that on the road, they're still a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Andy.
Monday night.
And I know the Chargers don't necessarily have the biggest home field advantage, and the Cowboys fans always travel well.
Sure.
But I'm still not sold on this Cowboys team in general.
Oh, man.
I mean, you have guys like CeeDee Lamb calling out for their efforts in press conferences. Dak Prescott was doing, like you said, Dak Prescott things against the Niners, handing the ball to the other team practically. I'm high on the Chargers, and I think they get a big win here. Cover.
Ooh.
Give me the Chargers. I like the money line, Andy.
You like the money line here. Well, you might as well. I mean, if you're looking at the Chargers, take that money line.
Exactly.
And Herbert's, I don't think he's had the season everyone thinks that he's, I think he was, he's like 13th, 12th
yeah.
as far as QBR rating and passing yards in the NFL. So, like, it's not like he's a world beater, lighting it on fire and all that other stuff here. And that's why they're a dog at home to a team that's struggling.
For sure. For sure. And like you said, they are kind of – both teams are struggling right now. It's just that the Dallas Cowboys, I just don't think they have an identity as a team yet. And, you know, they're trying to hang their hat on their defense or whatever, and San Francisco 49ers just took it to them.
Yeah.
George Kittle, 3 touchdowns last week. McCaffrey got in for his, 60th game in a row or whatever you want to call it. Player prop I'm really looking at here, Andy, is Justin Herbert over 1.5 touchdowns at a minus 160. I believe it's a lock.
Okay.
Keenan Allen's been one of the best receivers in football this year, and I believe he finds him for 2 scores, if not more. So I really like Justin Herbert over 1.5 touchdowns.
Okay.
Book it.
All right. I think I do like that. And this line has some volatility to it. Now I'm seeing a lot of 2s come in. So the line is coming back down in that direction that you're talking about right there.
For sure.
I already lost the hook.
Exactly. And that's the reason why that I'm looking at Moneyline, Andy, because if you're going to bet 2, might as well get the extra juice with the plus money with the Moneyline.
There we go. Over-under sitting at 51.
Woo!
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either, Andy.
Dallas has been smacking that under much too often for me to like this.
Exactly. Their defense is very good, and their offense can't score points. Even if the Chargers do get, 3 or 4 touchdowns, can the Cowboys combat with that? It doesn't seem like they can. I would back the under in this game as well.
Yeah, after listening to you, I'm really looking at the Chargers here. I haven't made up my mind on this one. I think the best bet might be that player prop.
Yeah.
Herbert, right?
Two touchdowns? I think so too, Andy.
1.5?
Over 1.5 touchdowns and a minus 160.
He's got that.
I think he's got that no matter what.
Yep. All right, Mr. Parlay Pounder.
Yeah.
Do you have a parlay play for the people?
Exactly. And I'm sticking with the 3-teamer, Andy. We hit it last week. I think I have a really good shot at going 2 for 2 here. 3 for 3 if you're talking about this 3-teamer. I got the Las Vegas Raiders at home against the New England Patriots. New England Patriots have not been able to move the ball.
Mm-mm.
Very disrespectful team to that Belichick era. Coming into Las Vegas, I believe the Vegas Raiders got kind of momentum going with that Packers win on Monday night.
Uh-huh.
So I like the Packers. I like the Raiders money line at minus 155. I got Detroit going into Tampa Bay. Amon-Ra St. Brown coming back. I believe that gives them a little extra juice to get over the Buccaneers money line. And then I got the Philadelphia Eagles betting that down to 6.5 over the New York Jets. So I got the Raiders money line, Detroit money line, Eagles -6.5. Putting $25 on this to win $95.
Okay, all right. And you actually have a couple minus money there. So people just need to hold court, right? Just
all you got to do is
do what
hold
you're supposed
court.
To do.
Hold court.
Do what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
You heard the horn. That means we're running out of time here. So that'll about do it for us this week, folks. Be sure to follow us on ESPN Tri-Cities Radio on their Facebook page. We're getting a lot of really good interaction on there.
Oh, yeah.
Putting some short videos out. Also, our Twitter account starting to grow along with our YouTube channel and those YouTube shorts.
Yes.
Actually, I had one go off for over 10,000 views. That's maybe not too big for a lot of places, but it's big for us.
Thank you, Swifties. Thank you, Swifties.
The Swifties keeping the NFL afloat here.
Yeah.
And helping out WTL anyway on the social media front for sure. And we appreciate each and every one of you that watch these videos, that subscribe, that leave us comments. We really do. It helps the channel grow. It helps us grow. So once again, thank you to everybody that partakes in WTL in the virtual world, the web, whatever
the
you want to call it.
The
social media world. Speaking of which, you do handle the TikTok.
Yeah.
Daily free picks for those of you that want to get on TikTok and follow
us.
For Jabron, the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.